Amen. All right. Well, that was a good service already. That was a good service already. Hey. And if you didn't get a word or you wanted a word, just take Kyle's. Just say, I'll receive that one. Just want you to be a little quieter. Hey, we're going to start a new series. It's called Adulting. Amen? Adulting. It's a lot of work. I didn't even know this was a word. I'm old. I'm a little bit older. And I didn't know adulting was a word. I was looking for something else on Twitter, and I saw somebody put a quote down, and after it put hashtag adulting. I went, hashtag adulting? What is that? And then it sent me down this, looking at this hashtag adulting, and I thought, what is this hashtag adulting thing all about? So I went, this is really something. It really is. So this is the sermon series where you get to apply the principles to your neighbor. Amen? How many would love your neighbor just to grow up? So this is so you can elbow your neighbor. No, don't do that. Because remember, we spent the whole summer saying drop the stone. So don't apply this to your neighbor, all right? How many do have a neighbor who does need some help, though? All right. Thank you very much. Okay. Well, I'm going to just kind of introduce where we're headed today, all right? So adulting. And adulting, what we mean by this is growing in grace. Some people got concerned because they thought I said adultery. I didn't say adultery. I said adulting. We're going to deal with adultering in the new year. All right, so adulting. Adulting. I looked up the definition. It's now in the dictionary. It got put in the dictionary. It's the act or practice of attending to the ordinary tasks required for a responsible adult. Amen, adulting, eh? How many feeling a little pressure already? All right. The practice of attending to the ordinary tasks required by a responsible adult. Now, there's so much stuff on adulting, I couldn't believe what was there. And this is the ultimate adulting checklist. So I'm going to hand this out to everybody, and you can check the boxes and find out if you're actually an adult or not. But what I found out was in so many areas, I'm not an adult. Like it says, learn how to separate the whites and the colors when you're doing the laundry. Now, I know that. I know that. You know why I know that? Because Cheryl made it easy in her closet. She put a white bin and a colored bin. So she had to do that for me. So that was good, you know. Learn how to remove spots from stains in your clothes. Create a simple recipe list, pasta dishes, eggs. There's things you should learn to do. Learn how to change a tire. Amen? Amen. Hashtag adulting. I just changed the tire. I mean, that's awesome. Learn how to use a hammer and nails. This is a rough one. Right? Learn how to change a light bulb. I see that hand. I see. Okay. Learn the difference between big problems and little problems, and now problems and later problems. Anyway, that's there. If you need it, I'll send it to you so you can find out if you're actually an adult. All right. Okay. 2016, adulting was widely recognized enough to become a Word of the Year finalist. Word of the Year finalist. In one place, I believe it was the Word of the Year, but the American Dialect Society, it came in second. And since then, the usage has slightly declined, but it remains a relevant and widely recognized term. This is all the things I checked out, so I did this for you folks. But we're going to talk about adulting. X, formerly called Twitter. X. I pulled up a couple. You can put hashtag adulting, find out what people are doing. First time I separated the whites from the colors, hashtag adulting. Uncontrollably smiling because I got a new office chair, hashtag adulting. I just sighed at a group of teenagers. I don't even know why that's funny, Sean. So, I actually saw that. That's sad. Why would you sigh at teenagers? They're just teenagers. But you ever said, hashtag adulting. I think that's actually immature. I do. But here's a little picture for you. Remember this movie? I thought this was a great movie. Right here. It's coming right. You is stressed and you is tired and somebody's child needs help in the nursery. You is stressed and you is tired. You is adulting. Amen? Remember when I was a kid, I wanted to stay up past 9 o'clock. I felt, I can't wait till I'm adult and I can stay up past 9 o'clock. Now I'm adult, I can't stay awake past 9 o'clock. So people say, let's go out and do something. Are you kidding? I got my pajamas on. I am in for the night. I love this picture. Look, it says, thinking about being grown up on the left, eh? That's thinking about being grown up, and on the right, it's being a grown up. How many of the right is a lot of what it looks like for you? No, that's not good. He said, we want to be excellent. And this is some older ones from Twitter, and I identify with this one. It says, if replacing a dirty dish sponge with one that, with a new one puts you in a good mood, you're officially an adult. I don't do dishes very often, but when I do, I like a new sponge. Amen? So I really do. And it makes me happy because I look at that other one, I go, what has Cheryl been doing with this? This is like, you know, she's been trying to kill the family with bacteria. It's just like, so like, I'm like, get a new one. It's just like, what's going on? Now, I thought this was good. I mean, look at the stove here. It's an old stove, but one of the weirder things about being an adult is you have a favorite stovetop burner, yet nobody talks about it. Nobody, I thought that was funny. Nobody talks about it. And I thought, I do have a favorite burner. I really do. There's, when I turn on the stove, I use one burner almost all the time. Listen, all heads bowed, all eyes closed. Who else has a favorite burner? And we never talk about it. We should talk about these things. I don't know. Here, I thought this was funny. A couple memes, but this was, adulting is soup and I am a fork. Adulting is soup and I am a fork. Any forks out there today? Wow, thank you. I love this one, love this one. I'm a little older, so I get it. But being an adult, be like, I got bills and multiplying, and I'm losing control. It's electrifying. But then the girl comes and says, you better shape up, because I need a man. Better shape up, come on, amen. All the women said, yeah, better shape up. But I thought that was good. I got bills and they're multiplying. I mean, oh my God, I'm an adult. Jessica Fish, she's a blogger, and she says there's four levels of adulting. Number one is the apprehensive adult, where you're coming to that age of being an adult, and you might be going off to university, and you're going to be on your own for the first time, and you got to go do grocery shopping, and get a cup of noodles, and get some Kraft dinner, and get some cheesies, and the breakfast of champions right there, you know. So that's apprehensive adult. There's the amateur adult that's getting into it, starting, you know, signed your first lease, you know, got some payments, doing it well, getting it done, you know, tracking. Okay, then there's the assertive adult. The assertive adult is, I've arrived and you all need to be like me. I got this down. Grow up over there. Quit whining. You ain't seen nothing. You don't got bills. I got bills. Right? Assertive adults. Say, anybody got an assertive adult in your life? Amen. And then there's the authentic adults, those who really have made it. They're chilling out and they're doing stuff well and they've taught. I learned something new yesterday. My wife went into our closet, and when she was gone, I did do a bit of laundry, and I folded it, and I put it away. And she went in yesterday and looked at the way I folded a couple of sweaters and things. And I must admit, I did have a pair of track pants that were rolled. They were rolled. But she pulled it all out and threw it on the bed, and I'm like, wow, wow, wow. But I learned something new. I want to teach you, all right? I'm going to teach you. You ready? It's A, and then it's S, and then it's F. And what you do, when you want to fold like a t-shirt or something, it says grab it, first of all, by the armpits. Armpits, then you square, and then you fold. You're welcome. I just learned that yesterday. Hashtag adulting right there. All right. Okay. Hey, Hebrews 10:19-24. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since, what do we got? Since I have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, let us consider how we may spur one another. And literally that word means provoke. Has anybody ever provoked you? It is biblical to provoke people. Isn't that good? So I know all summer long it was don't throw any stones, but we're turning a corner now. All right. So you get to provoke and incite other people toward love and good deeds. Amen. You are released to provoke your neighbor. Since we have access. I mean, I love that. I call that section my salad section because there's a whole bunch of let us. Let us not forsake the gathering together. Let us go on to maturity. Let us. I call it my salad passage. But right there in the salad passage, it says that you have permission to provoke one another onto love and good deeds. So we do want to talk about growing in grace. Amen. Say grace. We don't want to talk about growing in grace. Grace is a gift of the nature and empowering presence of God. The law demands performance. Commandments demand performance, but grace empowers behavior. Grace empowers behavior. Now, it's one thing to say, would you grow up? It's another thing to come alongside, to enable, to empower, to bring understanding, revelation, and wisdom. See, my wife took me aside, and she trained me. I don't know why it took so long. 41 years of marriage, and she finally trained me how to fold a t-shirt. Praise God. Amen. Never realized one thing about adulting is lifelong learning. Thought I'd share that with you. The law demands performance, but grace empowers behavior. And grace is a higher standard. Grace is a higher standard. Amen. I mean, Joey, I want to talk about Joey. We're in our small group there on Wednesday night, and Joey was just bashing Adam and Eve for falling. You say, what's the matter with them? I mean, I can't believe that they get sucked in by a talking snake. Look, a talking snake. I mean, they get sucked in by that. What is their problem? I said, Joey, dude, you got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You got a living, breathing manifestation. You got the one who knows all things, who leads you into all truth on the inside of you. Have you ever screwed up? Oh. Got his wife in the second yo gave a resounding, yep. Very nice. Just for those on TV who wanted to know who shouted that out. Or who outed Joey. But Joey went, I guess that's kind of true, eh? You know? See, because they had the ability to fall. We have Christ inside, the Spirit of God inside. And you know what? We got the ability to live righteously every single day. We are more advantaged than Adam and Eve were that they blew it. That's not the question. The question is, why don't you grow up? Oh, wow, that was harsh, wasn't it? Adulting, hashtag adulting. Please come back next week. Grace is a higher standard. Grace. Grace is goodwill, loving kindness, and favor. Grace is the merciful kindness by which God, exerting his holy influence upon our souls, turns them to Christ, keeps, strengthens, increases them in Christian faith, knowledge, affection, and kindles virtue. So if you want virtue, you want to grow, you want to come into a full expression of all that is done because you're a new creature in Christ Jesus, that all happens by trying harder. That all happens by memorizing more scripture. That all happens by fasting for 700 days. You would be really close to Jesus if you did that. Well, you know how it comes? It comes by grace. It's grace. It's embracing and getting a full, deep revelation of the grace of God that causes you to increase in faith, in knowledge, affection, and kindle virtues. 1 Peter 3:18 says, rather, you must grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. It's grace. It's grace. If you even want to see something transformed in someone else's life, what they need is a big dose of the grace of God. What they need is a big, massive revelation of the love of God. That's why we sing those songs. I mean, there's no mountain you won't climb up, no wall you won't kick down. I mean, God is going to chase after you. He is absolutely committed to your maturity. Oddly, the one thing that can hinder his maturity in your life is when you start trying instead of trusting. That was a really good place to pay attention. Because you literally fall off the rails of Christian maturity when you decide to try instead of trust. Because the stuff that comes because of trying is not half as wonderful as the stuff that comes into your life because you're trusting and you're resting and you're following Him. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. All right, if it's not easy, it could be that the trying has taken over. Took it. It took over. It's taken over. Neil Anderson, he said, God has not given us power to imitate him. He has made us partakers of his nature so that we can actually be like him. You don't become a Christian by acting like one. We are not on a performance basis with God. Hello! So many of us cavalierly gloss over what has been, what he has done. So many of us cavalierly gloss over what he has done. What he has done should be your primary focus. You should be focusing on what he has done, looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith. But often we cavalierly gloss over what he has done and we zero in on what we're to do. How many know there's a lot of do scriptures in the Bible? There's a lot of do scriptures. But if you don't focus on what he has done, it will be like do to you. Because you cannot do the do until you embrace the done. It's good. Thank you, Pastor. That was deep. Amen. Though it might seem slight, it makes all the difference in the world. Our obedience has its origin in God's prior action. And forgetting that truth results in self-righteousness, pride, and eventually despair. As you study scriptures, remember that the imperatives are always rooted in the indicatives. God calls you to become who you already are in Christ Jesus. This is so important to learn. We're going to unpack this for several weeks. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about the indicatives. How many know what an indicative is? Well, we're going to figure that out. We're going to learn how to realize, because if you try to do the imperative, there's the commands, but the indicatives are positional truth. You cannot do the stuff until you recognize who you are. And what you do has to come out of identity. And if you're not sure and certain about your identity, the doing part is very difficult. But when you know who you are and you live out of that relationship with God, the doing becomes easy. All right, the Bible. Let me simplify the Bible for you. Let me simplify the whole Bible. You ready? The whole Bible is simplified in this. There's two parts to the Bible. There's good news and there's good advice. Done. There you go. Bible school. Pastor Carl's Bible school. The Bible has good news and good advice. Now, a lot of people get intoxicated in the good advice. They're looking at the good advice. Ooh, I found some really good advice here. Ooh. And that's great. But you need to focus first on the good news. And don't try and do the good advice unless you got the good news. You know, I looked up hashtag adulting. I found 13 lists, 8 lists, all the ways to be an adult. There's so much information about there and good stuff. It looks like wise stuff. I mean, so many websites on teaching you how to grow up. You can find TED Talks and all kinds. There's so much wisdom out there about how to grow up. I mean, we are not short of information. We are not short of people who want to help us stop being immature. Stop going around the same mountain over and over again. Some people are 70 years old, but they're 71-year circuits. You're 1 year mature, but you've been doing the same mountain for 70 years. But how do you get off of that? You get off of that by focusing on who you are in Christ Jesus. And that has to be always our beginning point, and you need to get a deep, deep revelation of the good news. So let's read this together. We're going to read some scripture together and just draw some conclusions right here. You ready? Colossians chapter 1. Now, the Apostle Paul wrote a lot of the New Testament, and they were epistles written to specific churches and people. But in Paul's writings, he had a strong pattern. And in his pattern, he always talked about identity and then behavior. He talked about doctrine and then duty. He said, like in Romans 12, he says, therefore, in light of the mercies of God, in light of the 10 chapters I just wrote to you, now, in light of who you are, in light of your identity, in light of all that wonderful doctrine I just shared with you, here's how to live. But you don't do it. You do it in light of. You do it in correspondence to. You do it after you have a deep revelation of who you are. Now, let's work out what God has already worked in. And so you've got to go deep into identity. And here's the Apostle Paul starting to the Colossian church. He said, this letter from Paul, chosen by the will of God to be an apostle of Christ Jesus, and from our brother Timothy, we are writing to God's holy people. Who's he writing to? God's holy people. Who are you? You are God's holy people. I mean, this church was a struggling church, going through some things, having some issues. But how did Paul write to them? Paul announces, here's what Paul says. You are God's holy people. Hello, man of God. Hello, holy child of God. Hello, beloved of Christ. Hey, you idiot. Paul always talked about God's holy people in the city of Colossae. You're the faithful brothers and sisters in Christ. May our Father, identifying that we got a Father, a common Father. May our God and our Father give you grace and peace. We give thanks to God, the Father, our Lord Jesus Christ, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus. We heard of your love for all of God's people. And we are here because it all comes from your confident hope, faith, hope, and love. But the greatest of these is love. And when He has reserved that hope which he has reserved for you in heaven. And it is all because you heard the truth of the good news. All of this faith, this love, this hope, all of it flows out of the revelation that you heard the good news. This same good news that came to you is going all over the world. The same good news to you is going all over the world. It's bearing fruit everywhere by changing lives. How do lives get changed? What is the church called to do? How do we bring the good news of Jesus Christ out there that transforms nations? We focus on the good news. We don't focus on, you're all sinners, you're all wicked, you're all dogs. No, we come with, you're forgiven, you're healed, you're free, you're loved by God. He's nuts about you. He's never had a bad thought about you. Your God loves you with an everlasting and unfailing love. God is for you. He's not against you. See, it's the good news that changes people's lives. But the church has got intoxicated on the good advice. We're here to bring you people some good advice. They need a transformation. Before you can live any of the good news, you need that whole new life experience. He didn't come to get people into heaven. He came to get heaven into them. God didn't come to give you a morality code. He came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. All right, so all over the world it's bearing fruit, it's changing lives, just as it changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth. What did you understand? What did you hear? What's the good news? The truth about God's wonderful grace. Do you know? Do you have a working revelation of the grace of God? Because what's changed you is grace. What's going to change the world is grace. What's going to change London? What's going to minister to our communities? It's people who have a strong revelation and know how to share the grace and the goodness of God is changing the world. The good news is changing. It's going all over the world and it's changing people everywhere. You learned about the good news from Epaphras, our beloved co-worker. He is Christ's faithful servant. He's helping us in your behalf. He told us about the love for others that the Holy Spirit has given you. Here's the good news. God loves you. He's for you. He wants to manifest his kingdom in and through you. You can accept that and be a part of the family of God. And then when you're baptized in water, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you. He's going to put in you. The third person, the Godhead, is going to take up residence in your life. And in and through you, he's going to cause love and expression of the kingdom of God to be manifest in and through your life. So we have not stopped praying for you since we heard about you. We keep asking God that he would give you complete knowledge. We keep asking God that you would grow up. We keep asking God that you would stop sinning. We keep asking God that you would just, come on, smarten up over there. You've been pagans long enough. No, we've been asking God to give you complete knowledge of his will and to give you spiritual wisdom and understanding. And that word is the Greek word epignosis, which is a precise, exact, and correct knowledge. You know what you need now to work all this out? You need exact, precise, and complete knowledge. And where are you going to get it? From studying the Bible, from working really hard, from looking at the do. No, you're going to get it as a gift. I pray that God would give you. Say, give. You don't earn this. There's a lot of people that are full of their own self-interest and pride who keep on trying to pursue knowledge on their own. You know what? God will give you. God himself will pour in you. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be open so that you could understand how deep and wonderful God is. You got a built-in tutor, the Holy Ghost. You got a built-in teacher of all sound doctrine and revelation, and it's right in you. What will that do? It will drive you into the Word because you'll see things and your spirit will be enlightened. But don't go to the Word trying to find him. Because you found him, go to the Word. There's a massive difference in that. epignosis. Then the way you live will always honor and please the Lord. When you get a deep-seated revelation and continue, I can fold t-shirts now. Cheryl poured wisdom and revelation on me. I will never ever touch a t-shirt the same way. It'll be armpit square fold. Woo! I wasn't lacking the joy of doing laundry. I was lacking revelation. And there's a lot of people, you're not lacking even the desire to serve God. You're lacking revelation. You know why people give? They have revelation. You know why people lay their hands on the sick? They have revelation. You know why people share their faith? They have revelation. You know why people believe that God is going to give me the best marriage ever? Revelation. Hashtag adulting. But I want to make sure that we have the right foundation to do this. I don't want to be wagging my finger. Come on, church, grow up. You know why the world can't see Jesus? It's because you're all a bunch of screw-ups. And sadly, that's what happens in a lot of churches. It's a bully pulpit. I want it to be a grace pulpit where you're served, you're blessed, and you're empowered and equipped to do what God can only do. Honor and please the Lord, and your lives will produce every kind of good fruit, all while you will grow as you learn to know God better and better. This isn't Father, Son, and Holy Book. This is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit will lead you into all truth. You are a genius. You are brilliant. You are advantaged. You literally have a walking, the one who created all things is with you, and he will lead you into all truth. Man, that's amazing. All right, we also pray that you'll be strengthened with all his glorious power so that you will have all the endurance and the patience, because sometimes what you need to grow in revelation and understanding is you need to endure and you need to be patient. Amen. Anybody need some patience? Patience that you need. May you be filled with joy, always thanking God the Father who enabled you. That word enabled means qualified you. Who qualified you to walk in the fullness of God? Who qualified you to be a ridiculous blessing? Who qualified you to be a living dwelling tabernacle of God's presence? Who qualified you to walk in the fullness of God? Who qualified you to loose the kingdom everywhere you go? Who qualified you to be a son of God? He did. He qualified you. And you share in the inheritance that belongs to his people who live in the light. The word qualified is the word hekano. Hekano is the Greek word. It means to make sufficient, to render fit, to equip one with adequate power to perform. God gives you the power. It's his grace and his goodness. It's a gift of God to manifest all that. But we got to move from trying to trusting. For he has rescued us from the kingdom of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his dear son, who purchased our freedom and forgave our sins. He has rescued you. He has transferred you. You are not darkness. You are light, only light. There is no darkness at all. You are light, 100% light. And he purchased your freedom. Done. You are free. Who the son set free is free indeed. And he has forgiven our sins. That's such a great verse. I love that verse. Let me summarize this right here. You ready? Say summarize, Pastor. You ready? Here we go. You ready? Hashtag adulting. We want you to grow in grace. So we're going to talk about growing in grace. And we're going to grow. How many are going to grow? How many are going to learn stuff? Going to get revelation, get understanding. We're going to grow in grace. Over the next several weeks, we're going to hashtag adulting in Christ. Number one, I need you to know that adulting, growing in grace is a miracle. It's not something you achieve. It's a miracle. It's something that God has done. It's his grace. It's a gift of grace. It is a Holy Ghost, heaven-sent miracle. It's not something you qualify for. It's not something you achieve. Growing in grace is a miracle of God, and it's yours. It's a miracle. It's revelational. It's revelation. A lot of times we're not walking in the fullness of what God has already given us just because we don't know. We don't have revelation. But Paul prayed, and I pray. I pray that the eyes of your understanding, how many knew that your understanding has eyes? I pray that, but a lot of people's understanding is closed and shut down. I don't understand. I pray that the eyes of your understanding would be open. A spiritual understanding, not an understanding like textbook understanding. So you go, oh gosh, we got to study stuff. I hate school. school. This isn't that kind of school. It's a school of the Spirit, where I want the eyes of your understanding. I want knowledge and wisdom and revelation. I want you to get hooked up with God in such a way that there's a free flow and you realize, I can live out of this advantage every day. I am so overqualified for everything. The one who created everything lives in me. And I want you to know it's a miracle, but growing in grace is also revelational. It's also, here we go, you ready? It's responsible. It is responsible. Because I want you to lean into this stuff. I want you on purpose. I don't want you to try, but I do want you to trust. I want you to understand what it is to trust God. I want you to understand what it is to lean into Him and let Him minister in and through you. So every day of your life, you are confident in every circumstance, knowing that you are able in every situation to excel. Settle down. One more. It's possible. Someone needs to hear that. Someone needs to hear that right now. Yeah, for you. For you. This isn't like for, there isn't like, you know, grading in the kingdom. Some people are just going to get it. I'm really not. I'm just going to know the lower level things of God. No, it is absolutely possible for you to walk in the full understanding and revelation of who God is, who you are, and walk and be dynamite in every circumstance of your life. It's a miracle, absolutely. It's revelational, yes it is. It's responsible, but it's also, it is fully possible. Fully possible. I got one more verse for you. You ready? And I love this verse. You should memorize it. 1 Corinthians 1:30. God has united you with Christ Jesus. Settle down. God has united you. It doesn't mean He's brought you close to Him. It doesn't mean that He is even close by you. It means that it's indistinguishable. Between you and God, I can't even tell the difference. You are so united with God, you are one with Him. It's indistinguishable. God has united you with Jesus Christ. For our benefit, God made Him to be wisdom itself. And Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and He freed us from sin. Isn't that great? Is anyone here right with God? Is anyone here pure and holy? Is anyone here free from sin? All of that is the work of God. All of that is the work of the Spirit of God. You are pure and you are holy, and He did it. He qualified you in every single way. Come on.